Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Hey, it's a great podcast today. A lot of laughs and a lot of really important information for you. Don't miss a second of today's podcast if you want to know what's really going on.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is the Glenn Beck program. Oh, Pat Gray is joining us. Let's see. Is there anything at all we could talk about? Hey, how about Cuomo?
Yes.
Yes.
What? Stu, you want to talk about Cuomo? That's
really?
A surprise.
Yeah.
Every so day unusual. I come in and I see something new about Cuomo and I'm like, I'm going to taunt him with it the whole day. We might talk about Cuomo.
Please let me talk about Cuomo.
Oh, the big apology yesterday. That was fun.
Oh,
We did a whole show on it last night.
Could
he's
we so, play?
So, so, now, so yesterday, sorry. Yesterday was like, bada bing, so I go to strip clubs. That's right. What me and my dad used to do. Now, that was yesterday, or the day before. Now, yesterday, this is his apology.
But this is what I want you to know. Oh, okay. And I want you to know this from me directly.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
I never touched anyone inappropriately.
Never.
I never touched anyone inappropriately.
You just said that.
Now, listen.
You just said it.
Now, listen. He's going to tear
I
up.
Never knew.
Listen.
At the time that I was making anyone feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I never knew. At the time, I was making anyone feel uncomfortable.
You just said that one, too.
And
it's weird.
I certainly never, ever meant to offend anyone hurt anyone.
Oh, gosh, are you getting emotional?
Or cause anyone any pain.
Oh, that's really not true.
Is the last thing
it's the first
I
thing.
Would ever want to do.
It's the first thing you want to do. It's hurt
Let
people.
Me just say this. Look, she was there. I was talking to her about maybe helping me on my next boobinatorial race.
Boobinatorial race. he is America's dumbest governor.
I tell you what, this is all I want to say to you. I can keep you safe from the COVIDs. You know what I'm saying? Just come spend some time on my Anthony Cauchy. Hey, baby, I've got some COVID safety equipment for you. Want to see my PPE?
Who knew that would offend anyone?
Right.
Oh,
right.
Did he intend that to offend?
Right. Hey, baby, let's play a little nursing home, huh? Why don't you pull my plug?
How can that possibly be offensive?
I can't.
And cause somebody to be feel uncomfortable. I don't see
Such
it.
Such a surprise.
I don't
Such
see it
Such a surprise.
At all. This is an embarrassing performance last night. He's faking the emotion.
No, you can't say that. You don't know.
I do know. I do know. I've watched too many freaking... The man is incapable of feeling empathy for another human being. He's incapable of it. So, this is what happens when you kill thousands of people. Hard to feel empathy for something like this. Yeah. When you've sent thousands of people to their unwanted death, it's hard to feel the empathy for a bad joke.
Hey, I was only trying to flatten a couple of her curbs. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to do. You know, I like all my nursing home death numbers the same. Under the table. What's happening under the table? That one.
It's been really bad. But we went through the polls yesterday. He went from 71 to 38% in approval rating.
Wow.
71 to 38%. And that's over the past year. And more people want him to resign over the nursing homes than they do the sexual harassment stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
Which
seriously,
I found to be encouraging, actually.
That's great.
Yeah, because I think the politicians are using the harassment stuff because they can't admit they were so wrong on the COVID stuff.
Right. And this is a pretty good distraction for him, actually.
Yeah. And look, you know, he's definitely acted like a creep to a bunch of women. I don't think there's all that much doubt about that.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm sorry, Andrew. But it is it's an amazing thing. I was going back and looking at his remember the poster he was selling?
The one where he was driving in his Camaro or something?
Yeah, or is it a Firebird?
Firebird.
He's got the mountain, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm looking at this thing, and I was like, yeah, I wonder if you could still buy it. Sadly, no longer available for sale. It's a broken link now.
Darn.
Considering
if somebody has it, please send it to mercury1.org. If anyone has Dr. Seuss books and you want to make a donation, it'll be tax deductible. Send the Dr. Seuss books to Mercury One. We tried to go out and buy them, and now they're just crazy expensive. But we are
already.
This is what. They're over $1,000 a piece now.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, $1,000
really?
A piece now.
Wow!
Just the six that were banned, right? You're going to get a bunch of hop on pops.
Now we're talking. Hey, you over there? What did you hop on pops?
That is Andrew Cuomo's favorite Dr. Seuss book. He's 63. She's 25. He wants to hop on pop.
Yeah, there you go. Keep hopping. Up and down. Hop, 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 hop.
And to say he never touched anybody inappropriately, when you just meet a 22-year-old or 23, however old that girl was, with the backless dress,
right.
And he's got his hand on the lower part of her back,
mm-hmm.
and it's backless,
mm-hmm.
to say that's not inappropriate?
Okay, so wait a minute.
And he also...
And everybody saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. Culture has changed on that. When you would put your arm around people for your taking pictures, I used to actually put my hands on people. Now they're floating mysteriously and weirdly behind someone.
That is true, but was it a picture opportunity?
I
don't think so. He just met her. He had just, and she said almost immediately he had... hand under the small of her back.
Listen, if she has the small of her back and your hand kind of slips down under her dress, under her panties,
and
just kind of squeezes a little bit, that happens.
When you're taking a photo with somebody.
Right. You're taking a photo. You can't. I'm thinking
you
about.
You can't control
they're
that.
They're saying to me, smile. And I'm not even paying attention to what my hand is doing in her under her underpants. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can relate. Bada bing.
And we should point out, too. He walked up to this woman. This woman was 33, I believe. So, like, ancient in Cuomo years.
And, like dog years. Yeah.
And walked up to her and put his hand on her bare back. And she physically removed
with her
his hand.
Yeah.
So she pulled him away.
Wow.
Seconds after that is when the picture that has been out there where he has his hands on her face. So she removed.
And that is talking down to somebody.
Yeah.
You put your hands on people's faces like that. Who do you do that to? You do that to children.
To a kid, maybe.
Yeah.
To someone.
Wife,
I mean,
maybe
and Joe Biden does it to kids and then he pulls them in closely. You only do that when you're talking down to somebody or somebody. It's a very intimate moment with you and, you know, your spouse or
somebody you know very well.
Very well.
Right. And not who's just the first contact you've ever made with the person physically removed your hand.
No,
that's
crazy.
A thing of like,
what's he doing? He's just now he's like, is he talking down to her? What did he say to her?
And he asked her if he could kiss her. That's what he said.
Oh, my gosh.
And he said that.
Did you not get I just removed your hand? Hand from my ass? Did you not get that one?
That's bad. I mean, is it a criminal action? Probably not. Is it the type of thing? Now, this was not at a work event. This particular one was at a social event. But is it the
power dynamic?
Yeah, right.
The power dynamic. She was 20. She was 25. He was 670 years old, and also he was the governor of the state,
and most likely a monster.
Yeah.
Now, and this one, you have to understand, the age separation was only 3 decades here. So that was not, it's not, I mean, look, it was only 30
years. They have
years.
A lot in common.
Yeah, not 38.
They
like
have
the other
a lot in common. They both wear shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They both have skin.
They have skin. They now, can, they have so much to
I
talk
will say,
about.
On the shoes thing.
Pants. Right. You wear pants or no pants.
On the shoes thing, though, that she does not wear Dr. Scholl's. So there is some, there are some differences.
I was talking to Dr. Scholl.
Dr. Scholl. That's his epidemiologist. Yeah. He's been trusting as Dr. Scholl this whole time. I do think a lot of this is an excuse for his other borderline possible criminal actions he's taken. You know, when you go through a year and praise Andrew Cuomo for his handling, and then you realize how bad it is.
Let's not talk about probes or handling, okay? I'm a little sensitive right now.
When you do that, you can't just reverse it, right? Because then you're admitting you were incompetent during the entire COVID thing.
Yep.
When you were praising him for being wonderful, and now you realize he was terrible, you can't turn that around so easily. So I think they're utilizing these scandals to show they have a way to turn this thing around. Oh, now we think he should be out of there. Honestly, I think for the people of New York, the best thing that can happen is him leaving any way possible. I'm a huge skeptic that something that positive for America can occur.
I don't think he survives this. You know, between the two of them.
No, wait. Slate is coming to his defense. Slate is saying that, yes, several accusations on sexual harassment, but it's time to demand due process.
Yeah, it wasn't time with Kavanaugh. Yeah. It wasn't time.
And it won't be time next time if it's a conservative. No.
And it won't be time even for Andrew Cuomo. He will not give due process to the next Republican that goes through this. Though I do say I will agree and be consistent, and I think we all will, that he does deserve due process for this. However, he's had due process for the nursing home thing. We've gone through that.
He was negligent. You could really charge him with negligent homicide on this.
Yeah, negligent homicide. You really could. Not just negligence. Right. Negligent homicide.
Yes.
He knew what he was doing.
It's hard to imagine. It really is hard for me to physically imagine a person going through this scenario and saying, okay, wait, you want to do what now? You want to take the people who have COVID-19 and you want to put them in the same rooms with the most vulnerable people. Yeah. Now, only five governors did this. Cuomo added on to this and did a situation where he made it illegal to test them. So it's like, let's just say you knew you were going to take a COVID-19 positive patient into your nursing home. You might at least put them in like the back room. I don't know, away from the other patients.
Separate
and hope,
them.
Right?
Yeah.
He wouldn't even allow the testing to occur to know if they were positive or not.
Right. It's not like Joe Biden, who knows these people have COVID. And because they're illegals, he's just going to release them into the general population of Texas.
Right.
It's not that.
No.
No. He wouldn't allow the second test to be done.
Right.
Yeah.
And then there's the situation where his excuse for this is, well, we thought hospitals were going to be overwhelmed. And the CDC did a terrible job with their hospital estimates early on.
That's why I was shoving him in ovens. Look, the cages were overwhelmed. I had to do something with them. Hey, get into this oven.
But a Brooklyn nursing home in particular went to Cuomo in the middle of this and said, hey, I know you're saying we need to bring these COVID positive patients back into our freaking nursing home, but I happened to notice this giant ship that Donald Trump pulled in because you said that you needed it so bad.
It holds thousands of people.
And it's entirely empty. Can we take those people and put them on there?
No.
Can we do that?
No.
Can we put them in the Javits Center when it was empty?
It was at his disposal.
And what Cuomo said was,
no.
Suck it. No.
Yeah.
I mean,
hey, what's your language?
All right, let me give you one more story on Governor Cuomo. Oh. Now, this is an opportunity for you to find out how politically incorrect you really are. I want no one on this program to say anything about this story. This is a joke. If you find this funny, you'll have to ask yourself why.
Okay.
Okay. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot.
Is that the whole thing?
Because
I was laughing.
Has sympathized with the women who accused New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of inappropriate sexual behavior because she said she herself has been a victim of workplace sexual harassment. You have to ask yourself why.
Right.
Why? If you're laughing, you're sick. You're a bad bad person.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
You want some common sense? Here it is. And I want to quote directly from a transcript. You'll understand why I'm saying that in a second. Quote, "The thing I want to talk about that's happened recently, and I never, from my years of teaching and administration, I do not get into religion. I do not get into politics with my students. It's not that I don't or I'm not involved in them. I'm deeply involved in them. But that is my belief. My belief is that those things should reflect your values, and your values you should get from your parents. So I always want to have the students go to their parents when they have a question about their values and how that value should be reflected in their faith or in their politics. And you want to align those decisions about religion and politics with those values and with truth. I'm also not a conspiracy theorist. I have no belief in some great overarching Illuminati group that's taking over anything. But some stuff has happened last weekend." Now, this was in January 11th. "That I have some problems with that I think affect you, and I want you to help. I want to help you think about them. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I just want to help you think. And no, it's not about the Capitol riots. That was ignorance at the highest levels. I don't know too many people who are going to be okay with what happened. I don't care whose side you agree with. We do not practice sedition. We do not attack our legislature. But no, what's going on with Twitter and Facebook and Google and Apple, their decision as private companies to filter and to decide what you can hear and know about. And this is not about Trump. I'm not getting into that. This is about speech. Because there have been times in American history where a small group of people decided what you can and cannot hear. Think about McCarthyism. If you don't know about that, Google it or talk to your social studies teacher. But think about totalitarian governments. Think of North Korea. Think of China. What makes those types of systems possible is the restriction and the elimination of the free exchange of ideas. And America, in democracies, we talk about the marketplace of ideas. Well, what happens when the marketplace of ideas becomes a forced monopoly? What happens when you don't have a dissenting opinions? When you don't have an exchange on competing ideas? How do you know if your idea can stand on their own if there is no marketplace of competing ideas? And I'm not saying that because I'm in favor of Parler, or if I'm in favor of Donald Trump, or in favor of anyone else who's being banned, or their app is being told you can't be in the marketplace of ideas because you don't follow our prescribed values or ideas. I have a huge issue with that. And to me, this became a problem back in the 1990s, the early 90s, and that event in history known as Waco. And I know most of you weren't even alive, but your teachers and your parents know about this. I was not a part of the Branch Davidians. I don't have anything for or against Branch Davidians or David Koresh. But what happened, but because of what happened there, it was a religious group in Waco, Texas, that some folks thought was a little odd, and the government decided that they needed to go in and check them out. And of course, they were doing some things that most people would have thought a little outside the norm, or maybe way outside the norm. But that's not the point. The point was that a group of people decided that somebody who disagreed, who thought differently or looked differently from them, needed to be filtered, needed to be reined in, needed to be controlled by someone else. Well, that was a religious group. And I belong to a religious group. What happens if one day a different group of people thinks that my religion is different or funny or should be brought under control or should be filtered? Take that into speech. Maybe right now I'm in the norm. Maybe right now my speech is not too outlandish or too crazy. You might disagree, but I'm not espousing violence, racism, sexism, or anything else that as a culture we deem inappropriate. But what if a different group comes into power that no longer likes what I have to say or how I think, or if they begin to think that I'm extreme? At some point, any time we allow any group of people to tell another group of people, you can't think this, you can't say this, you can't write this, and you can't go to places where it's talked about, that is one step away from now what is happening to you. Because right now, it may be the ideas that you value are shared by people who are in power and filtering those people who are not in power. but just in one election, one moment away, and it can be flipped. I'm only getting into this because you, as a young person, this is your future. You have a future ahead of you, and you will be developing your own ideas and your own values the way that you want to express yourself. I'm not on Twitter. I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on any social media. My children are not on any social media. I'm 100% against Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, not only because in and of themselves are bad platforms, but what is happening on them. I'm not in favor of that. Okay, this goes on, but it's the same tone the whole time. This principle is a principle that, man, I would love to support the school that he is the principal of, or she. It actually turns out to be a he. It's Dan. It is. Do I even have the name of the? No. It's Barton Thorne. He was the principal of Cordova High School, and he's being represented by Daniel Sir. He is the senior attorney, the Liberty Justice Center, because this principal was suspended for that speech. He's now suing. Welcome to the program, Daniel Sir.
Good morning, Glenn. Great to be with you.
Great to have you. Tell me what happened in this school in Tennessee.
Yeah, Glenn, this is one of the most blatant examples of cancel culture we have seen in our country to date. And, you know, you just read the transcript of what Principal Thorne said. The irony here is that he was warning his students about the dangers of cancel culture and the importance of free speech. And he's the one who ends up getting canceled as his school administrators react to that speech by putting him on leave, suspending him from his job, kicking him out of his school building for 7 weeks. And he doesn't actually get back to doing the job he loves with students until he has to sue them. And that's just wrong.
Okay, so why did they kick him out?
So the school district kicked him out for talking about basic civics, right? The administrators at the district heard that message that you just read, and they called it unfortunate. They said it didn't represent the values of their public school system.
What?
And they kicked him out of the school building.
What does it, listen to the rest of this, McCarthyism and all what happened. How many people lost their jobs, their lives even, because of association or because of thoughts that they may have had or just wonderings? Can we not wonder anymore about things? I want you to think about it and talk to your parents about it. If you trust your teacher, talk to your teacher about it. Be aware, be in the loop as far as what's going on. And not whether or not you agree or disagree with the people being filtered, but this can happen to you one day, can it? And think about it. And just remember, the power is in our choices. We choose our actions, but not our consequences. Make wise choices and have a great week. What part of the principles do they not agree with?
It's crazy, Glenn, right? This is what public education has come to, where if you talk about liberal orthodoxy in your classroom, if you champion the Black Lives Matter or other parts of the liberal agenda, you're just fine. But if you say something as non-controversial as free speech is important, think for yourselves, have respectful conversations with people you disagree with, watch out, because they're coming for your job. Like, that's what happened here.
Daniel, how confident are you that this case can be won and a profound message can be sent?
So this is about the Constitution, Glenn, right? This is a fight fundamentally for free speech in a free society. And I feel great when I got the Constitution on my side as a lawyer. And I feel great when I've got a client like Barton Thorne, who is a great principal, who is a good man, who's the kind of person every parent wants teaching their students these important life lessons. So I feel great about our case, and I hope the school district does the right thing here, which is not just giving Barton his job back, but acknowledging that what he said was right. This is a teachable moment. The school district needs to tell its students that if they talk about free speech in a paper, they're not going to get an F. It needs to tell the other teachers in this district and across the country, it's okay to talk about the Constitution, to teach basic civics, and not have to watch your back that the speech police are coming for you. So hopefully the district does the right thing here and acknowledges what it did was wrong and illegal.
We're talking to Daniel Sir, the senior attorney at the Liberty Justice Center. Daniel, I think it is important, really important, not only that he's reinstated, but I agree with you that they admit that they were wrong and that this what he said was right. Not just that they were wrong, what he said was right. You should be able to think for yourselves and discuss these things in a reasonable manner. But I would like to see, is there any way to see something more than this? Is there anything that can be done that sends a message? Because this is happening everywhere, and it's why people are not standing up.
And that's honestly, Glenn, why programs like yours are so important. We have to shine a light on this. The only way we will fight back and win on cancel culture is if people have courage, if they have the courage of their convictions, if they stand up, and if others stand with them. And if we shine a light on these outrageous examples, like what's happening to Principal Thorne, and the message gets out, thanks to platforms like the one you have, that this is not acceptable in America, we still believe in free speech in America, and cancel culture isn't going to win, because at the end of the day, the First Amendment, the U.S. Constitution, that's what we as Americans value. That's what we treasure, and that's what we're going to stand for.
So, Stu, where was that story that came about the teachers being taught that children, babies, are racist?
Arizona.
In Arizona.
Yeah.
And we were having a conversation about this, I think maybe off the air this morning, and I said, I honestly am beginning to blame the teachers that are going through that and not saying anything. Because if teachers don't stand up, if teachers would stand up, and there's out of 100, there's 20 of them, that would make a difference. But they're afraid that they won't get a job or anything else. But that's what you're for, right? That's what Liberty Justice Center does.
Liberty Justice. Absolutely. We're here to fight for people and defend free speech. And thankfully, you know, Principal Thorne, like, he is a good man and he is a great principal. And he has, you know, courage to push back on that. And we need more people to show more courage to win this fight with cancel culture, because Arizona is another example. Like, the liberal orthodoxy that they are teaching our kids, it is pervasive. It is everywhere. We have a responsibility as parents to teach our kids the things that are right. But we also, as citizens, want to encourage good teachers like Principal Thorne
exactly right.
to do the right thing and talk about the Constitution with our kids. We should celebrate that as a society.
Daniel, I'd like one of my producers to set up a private call with you sometime after the show. I want to talk to you more about this, but anything that you guys need, anything that this principal needs, you can count on me.
Thanks for standing with us. Thanks for standing for the First Amendment.
I want you to donate now to libertyjusticecenter.org. We have got the people who are brave enough to stand up have got to have the best defense, and that takes money and a lot of attorneys. So please donate now to libertyjusticecenter.org. libertyjusticecenter.org. Stop it before you're the one that needs the attorney.